Good evening, James McCanny here with my Science Hour, February 23rd, 2012. And this week's main science topic will be somewhat of a continuation and expansion on last week. Last week I talked about life in other solar systems. I talked about specifically the roles of Planet X type objects in this, in the development of planetary systems, the necessity of Planet X type objects, just like forest fires, hurricanes, other natural disasters. The universe at large has disasters built in also, and these disasters, let's look at a forest fire. What does a forest fire do? It renews the woods. When a full growth forest is there, basically one plant species dominates, and it's the species, kind of like a monopoly game of ecology. One planet species dominates. The giant trees, typically, they drop acid-bearing leaves on the ground, and that acid then prevents other plants from growing. And so what you have is a level down at the ground, you have an area where things just don't grow. And that's what it was like when the first Europeans came here, giant trees and nothing on the ground. And we're not used to that. When we go to the woods now, we have probably third, fourth growth plants in the woods. And so there's a lot of small plants on the ground. That's what we're accustomed to. But in the ancient boreal forests, typically one plant would overcome and dominate the landscape and prevent other smaller plants from growing. Also take all the water, take all the light. So a forest fire is a natural way to reverse that monopolization. So too, in the real world of the universe, there is a reversal of monopolization, and that, interestingly enough, works also for the intelligent species. I think it's somewhat of a natural evolution where species become monopolies, and Planet X type objects are simply a way of leveling the playing field, starting over, pushing the big red reset button. And, of course, that's what the people in charge of the world fear most. That's what a lot of people out there don't understand. They don't understand the real issue of Planet X. On my 2-CD set, I have 4 lectures on the psychology of Planet X. And one of the biggest aspects of the psychology of Planet X and the topic of Planet X, first of all, remember that there are many, many Planet X objects, not just one. The bad science and the bad misinformation that's thrown out on the public tries to say, oh, there's one Planet X. It has a 3,600-year orbit. This is all misinformation. There are many, many Planet X objects. The other main aspect of misinformation is, what is Planet X going to look like? And, of course, all of the misinformation tries to point towards a big red Jupiter object floating through space, and nothing could be farther from the truth. The Planet X objects look as big comets, giant comets, raging comets in the solar system. And so these are the primary misinformation pieces that have to be pounded into the heads of the public, that comets are little harmless, teeny, 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 10-foot across, little snowballs, can't do a thing, can't affect anything, just float through space, fluffy little things. No, I'm sorry, folks, that is not true. But, of course, that's what's pounded into the public's head by the standard media, which, of course, gets its information from NASA. So, at any rate, the other thing is that there's only one of them there, Planet X's, out there. No, folks, there are lots of them. They can come in at any time from any direction, and they're a natural part of the way things work. Not some hokey story that a goofy lady that thinks she talks to aliens has dreamt up in some kind of deranged mind. So at any rate, that's the main science topic. I'll be talking more about what Planet X objects do and how they help life develop. They're a very essential part of the workings of the universe. And so just like when a hurricane comes in, the people in the local area think, gee, my house was destroyed, my life was destroyed. Well, gee, you built your house in a hurricane zone. You know, like eventually, yeah, a hurricane's going to come and blow your house down, kill your family. That's what happens. If you have a planet in a solar system and you have developing life, yep, you're going to get hit by one of those Planet X objects. Not directly hit, mind you. This is going to be action at a distance. All kinds of bad things, floods, electrical discharges, gravitational waves of the object coming near, the sun, the star, the central star of your planetary system being drastically affected, ice ages, changing of the atmosphere, the list goes on and on. I'm going to quick jump into a first few quick announcements. Just remember that my sale is going on. I'm going to keep it up there till I the reason I have a 2-for-1 sale on books, by the way, which a lot of people are taking advantage of. You get two books or CDs or whatever the set is. If it's a multiple set of books, you simply get two of them when you order. And a lot of people are taking advantage of that. Also, if your total order, including water filters, etc., totals more than $400, you will get a free little radio, emergency radio. It's a Kato WRX 911 shortwave FM AM radio, and it's a really, really good radio. I carry that with me when I travel. It's lightweight, and it brings in stations from all around the world. But anyway, you get one of those free if your total order is more than $400. Excuse me. So anyway, that sale continues. It'll probably end pretty soon. So if you want to take advantage of that. And I appreciate all the people who have taken advantage of that sale, because what it's helping me do is pay off my very large reprinting costs of three of my books. Planet X, Comets, and Earth Changes, the Atlantis to Tesla, the Colburn Connection, and the Calculate Primes book all have been reprinted. And, of course, the Calculate Primes book comes with a 3-hour DVD lecture that is an essential part of that book. So, at any rate, just go to my webpage, jmccsci.com. That's short for jmccanniscience.com. But a lot of people misspell that, so I have the shortened version, JMCC, S as in Sam, C as in Charlie, I as in Indigo.com, and all the information is there, so I won't waste show time talking about that. But at any rate, excuse me, I had to take a drink of water from my water filter. Okay. Russia warns Israel not to attack Iran. There's a real face-off of apocalyptic proportions going on in the Mideast right now. Russia warning Israel, do not attack Iran. Of course, Israel stating that they are going to, probably in the May time frame. And, of course, I mean, this is leading up to apocalyptic proportions. You have China also in there. You have Pakistan. You have other countries that get oil from Iran. The price of oil in the United States rising dramatically because of the shutting off of the oil flow to Iran, also to Europe. So it looks like a real shooting match is coming down the line here. And so I always warn people, get ready to take care of yourself. Obama recently passed a mandate saying that it's illegal to have stored food or more than 7 days. You could be accused of being a terrorist. So, at any rate, As what I would tell people is become prepared. Become prepared. Also, Europe, Russia, Northern Europe, in a deep freeze all winter. This is not just a little issue. And sorry, it looks like I had a little problem with my sound there. I was fading out for a minute. So if you think that was your radio or the internet, no, that was a little glitch on my end. Okay. Europe, Russia, Northern Europe, all in a deep freeze. I just saw some pictures where the Danube, they had a warm day and it broke up, all of the ice broke up, caused a tremendous amount of damage on the river. They're just not used to that. I've gotten emails from fans, listeners, and they're talking about the tremendous freeze in Europe and how the people are simply not prepared. There was a boycott of oil going to Siberia, and it appears that they're trying to lift that to save 70,000 people that live up there that are stranded. This is not good, and what is causing this? Well, it was all predicted by the scientists who noted that the Gulf Stream, that circular stream in the Gulf of Mexico, it swirls around and it dumps warm water, or used to, I should say, used to dump warm water into the Atlantic Ocean, and then the northern moving mid-Atlantic current brings that warm water up to England and up to the Baltic Sea, warming Siberia. It's just a tremendous amount of heat that normally would go up there that is not going there now. That's why Moscow, that's why Northern Europe and Northern Russia had been kept at somewhat moderate temperatures. England, of course, feeling the effects of this also. But this is man-made. The BP oil spill, the scientists immediately noted that the circulation of the Gulf Stream had stopped due to the oil in the water. So at any rate, this having a dramatic effect on Northern Europe. It looks like the Bushes are coming out and starting to enter the political scene. A friend of mine talks about Jeb Bush waiting in the wings to run for president. And all of the other, they want to get rid of course, Ron Paul. And all kind of political shenanigans trying to minimize Ron Paul. But I know more and more people are waking up to the fact that their lives are being destroyed. It's not just like affecting them a little. Their lives are literally being destroyed by the bankers. And so it's a war against people, against the bankers. I mean, that's what it comes down to. And Ron Paul, for many people, is the last bastion of reasonable reason in the political world. A lot of people still think that the political world will work. So at any rate, but it looks like they're trying to squeeze Jeb Bush into the political scene. You see, for example, Big Brother George, who was president. Can you imagine now we'll have three Bushes as presidents? We may as well just declare a dynasty. It's absolutely absurd. Are these the only people in the country that can rule the country? Well, of course not. There's a lot of intelligent people out there. But these are people who work for the European bankers. That's why they're there. By the way, I know there's a lot of people listening to this show, a lot of new people who are coming in. I encourage you to go to my webpage and listen to past shows. I've got about 10 years worth of past shows there and a lot of information on the webpage. People are using my books and CDs to homeschool their children. Now, why would you do that? Well, it's the only real source of solid information out there in a lot of respects. If you don't have a fundamental knowledge of how the solar system works, then and the science regarding the solar system, then all of the other misinformation out there, you're very susceptible to that. So people are using one fan I was talking to this past week on the phone. Yes, I get to talk to fans and listeners. Was using a couple of the books for homeschooling, and I said, well, people are using all of them. It's all of the CDs, the DVDs, and all of the books, and there's a lot of information there. There's a lot of information on my radio shows, all of which are archived for free on my webpage. So you can go back. I talked to one listener this past week who listens to 35 shows of mine every week going back. That's a lot of listening. But you just have to understand how many years and how many it would take this person many, many months to listen to all my shows, listening at the rate of 35 per week. So that just gives you an idea how much is archived on my webpage. One woman listened to a show every day. I remember talking a couple years ago with a woman who listens to one of my archived shows every day to try and catch up on what's going on in the universe. Okay, there's a topic that I touch on many, many times, and that's dating. Dating of historical, or it might be geological, finds or discoveries. The dating of these in standard science. For example, I'm just going to read off a few that have come up lately in the news. I talked about last week the water on Mars, where a group of scientists decided that the water was there 600 million years ago. Where do they get these dates? And I always say there's a rabbit hat at NASA with a whole bunch of dates in it. Written on little pieces of paper, and so when something is, they need a date, like water on Mars or some other discovery in space, they go to the magic rabbit hat and they pull out a date and they go, oh, 600 million years. That makes about as much sense as what they have absolutely no basis for making statements on dates. But the one thing that you can guarantee is that those dates will be long, long ago, far away, out of mind, out of sight. And who's going to disprove that it was 600 million years ago? Well, how do you get that number in the first place? And once it's in a publication, in one of the standard, respectable journals, peer-reviewed, how are you going to change that? Now, all knowledge has to be based on that, and all future publications have to be based on that. So how exactly are you going to change that? Well, you're not. That's the point. And so then that information trickles down into all of the glossy magazines, the Gee Whiz magazine shop, glossy magazines that the public reads, you know, Discovery Magazine and National Geographic. All of that ridiculous science gets passed off to the public. That's what I call the garbage science, the tier two science that's passed off to the public. And basically the effect is to minimize the effect of these tremendous discoveries. And as I've said many times, the water on Mars is obviously very recent because every year there are tremendous dust storms on Mars. So in 600 million years, any indication of erosion of other types of geological structures would have been just wiped away. Sand is one of the most powerful destructive forces that you can find, much more powerful than wind, just wind by itself or wind with water. A dust storm, in fact, dust is used, sandstorms are used in all kinds of industries to just blast the paint off of cars, to clean metal, to clean wood off of houses before painting, all kinds of... a sandstorm continually on Mars would simply destroy any evidence of water that was 600 million years old. But there they are. They're talking about what are obviously recent geological structures and putting a 600 million year date on. Absolutely, absolutely beyond absurd, ridiculous. Okay, what else? Recently this past week, in fact, in China, a fern forest was discovered in which the ash had covered an area in China. Well, they discovered a fern forest basically covered and preserved, complete with the leaves on the trees, and they put a date on this of 300 million years. What's odd, though, what you get in the fine print in this, by the way, this was published in Nature magazine, approved by the National Academy of Sciences in the U.S. The scientists were American and Chinese, and you know where that goes. The Chinese follow like a little boy with a ring in their nose, the American, because the American concepts, because they want to be part of the international game. And of course, if you want to have equipment, if you want to be part of the publication world, you have to play the game. So any of the international science groups, the European Space Agency, or in Russia, or in China, whatever, wherever you are, South America, Latin America, they do the same thing. They follow these dating structures set up by American scientists, because, of course, the American scientists are the best in the world, according to common thought, which is ridiculous. The what's going on, of course, tier two science, garbage science, things that couldn't possibly be true. The other story that came out this past week, an ice age plant, you know, from the recent ice age on Earth, another story that couldn't possibly be true. The Earth just doesn't jump up and create ice ages by itself. Remember in the Ice Age, the Laurentian Ice Sheet, which was at the old North Pole, covered down into where Kansas and Iowa are today, and north up to the north, what we call the Northwest Territories in Canada, did not extend into Russia. Siberia at the time was a modest climate, moderate climate, with tundra, basically, or great plains, so to speak, with large animals, like the woolly mammoth, which was a tropical animal, not a Siberian animal. And so they find thousands, hundreds of thousands of the mammoths frozen, standing up, standing on all fours in the Siberian tundra with fresh tropical plants in their mouth, undigested. How does that happen? You know, these scenarios that you find around the world, and that's, by the way, what Velikovsky did. He pointed out all of these various issues, including the issues with calendars, and standard science couldn't handle it. They couldn't explain what this was all about, so they tried to destroy Velikovsky. But at any rate, the point here is that I'll just review here. I talked about three items, of which there are many. The 600-year-old alleged water on Mars that only lasted for 5,000 years, by the way. Where did the water magically come from, and where did it magically go? Well, of course, they don't bother answering that, nor does anybody on the peer review committee for Nature magazine or Science magazine, do they ask those questions. Well, it's all the buddy system. The fossil fern forest in China, 300 million years old, with modern trees, but it's 300 million years old. Then the ice age plants I was talking about, they date at 30,000 years old. Well, it's a myth that the ice age was 30,000 years ago. The ice age continued up into very recent times. The big glaciers, even when I was a kid, which you know, I won't tell you exactly, but many decades ago, the Great Glacier still covered many of the western states. A lot of those have receded in the last 50 years, 30, 40, 50 years. A lot of those big glaciers simply have left. The European glaciers, the same situation. So we are coming out of the tail end of the ice age. As I talk about in my weather book, Principia Meteorologia, The Physics of Sun, Earth, Weather, there is a warming period after an ice age. What causes the ice age? Well, a large comet came through the solar system. We know that that comet became the planet Venus. Was it a planet X? Well, in a sense, it was a planet X type object, just one of them. It became a planet. Others left the solar system at the same time. Okay, well, enough of that. But the point is, just when you see science, standard science come out, and they give you one of these dates, 600 million years, 300 million years, or 30,000 years, it's always exaggerated by a factor of 10, 100, 1,000, always to put it out of date. And for 30,000 years for the average person, that's just a long time ago. It's too far to imagine. Instead of 4,000 years ago. There's a group of scientists who agree that the North Pole and the South Pole are very recent constructs, that the ice in Antarctica at the South Pole is no more than 4,000 years old. So there again, you get standard science trying to make it sound like that's millions, hundreds of millions years old. Even that date is very young geologically. But the fact is that the ice sheets on the continent of Antarctica are sliding off because the land is warm. How is the land warm if it's been there in a deep freeze for 600 million years? Anyway, I want to quickly touch on the ancient Mayas versus the modern Mayas. It's a topic. For more detail on this, go to my new 2-CD lecture set, 18 hours of lectures on a 2-CD set. It's very inexpensive. It's like $12 for the 2-CD set. But on there, I have two lectures, one about the two of the many, many lectures. I talk about the ancient Mayans versus the modern Mayans. And let me clarify that, because there's so much misinformation, especially now in 2012. People talking about the Mayan calendar predicts the end of the world, December 21st, 2012. And so I've always said it's a hoax. There's nothing to it. I'm actually expecting things to pop before then in the political sense and possibly something else. So the political events, remember, many times circle around natural events. In other words, if the people in charge of the world, I shouldn't say in charge, they're not in charge of anything, they're in control, there's a difference. If there's a event, if there were a known Planet X event coming, and only they would know about it, they would have the information from the Tier 1 NASA and the equipment that's been built. The Vatican also has equipment at the South Pole. If they had the information, they would cause political events before that, so the entire world was engulfed in disaster, political disaster, so that would allow them a method of control. So at any rate, the Mayan calendar does not predict the end of the world in December 21st of 2012. The Mayan calendar actually revolves around a 360-day cycle, which revolves around the cycles of Venus. And the ancient Mayans go way back to 2 to 3,000 BC. The modern Mayans are that group of indigenous people that lived around 1300 AD, a difference of many thousands of years. But the modern Mayans maintained the calendars. They maintained the calendars and the mathematical system, etc., of the ancient Mayans. I just want to distinguish between the modern Mayans and the ancient Mayans. The ancient Mayans developed the calendars, and they don't correlate to our year today. I had a listener write in, and that was been studying some of my work, and he goes, "Yeah, well, with the 360-day year, That's 5 days plus every year. That's 5 1/4 days every year that are different. And so if you go back in time, the calendars don't match at all, meaning that the Mayan calendar cannot be applied at all to the calendars we use today, nor can it be used to make predictions. And if the Mayan calendar predicted that a certain cycle would have been there, the Mayan calendar ended decades and decades ago, not in December of 2012. The other issue is that eventually the Mayans had to install an additional set of days, the modern Mayans, to make up for that difference, because obviously the years were not adding up. Okay, so enough of that. Recently, NASA making a big deal out of electric rockets, making it sound like it's in the future and looking into the future. Well, these are old rocket systems there, and I want to make a distinction between inertial rockets and non-inertial rocket systems. I have talked about non-inertial rocket systems in that my designs don't require you to shoot out matter at high speed out the back of a nozzle or a propulsion system. The typical inertial propulsion system is a rocket, either a chemical rocket, it could be electrical, it could be magnetic, but the idea is it's shooting matter out the back end of a some kind of velocity accelerating system, a cone, a rocket cone, a chemical cone. And these systems are very inefficient because you have to carry matter on the rocket. So the problem is you are carrying matter and you're trying to send a payload someplace. So the farther you want to send your payload, the more propulsion fluid or solid you have to take along with you. And so that defeats the purpose, that puts a limit, let's say, on how big a rocket you can make or how big the payload will be that you can send someplace. So once again, NASA investing in out-of-date technology that will not take us to the stars, it will not take us anywhere, it will take decades and decades for one of their probes to get somewhere. And that's the point. The point is to stall, 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 and make it look like something's going on. Okay, before getting into the main science topic, I have an update on the topic. I did a show many weeks ago regarding a water control. It was basically the theft of water control, political dealings and wheelings and dealings in a little South American country called Colombia. And there's a dam project going on in this one of the southern states. I just want to do an update on that. You can visit some of my past shows to get an update. I did part of a show, I think was one of the middle shows in January, on this issue that I got information on. But now I've understood that the military police have moved in and started beating the resistors. The resistors are the local people, the farmers, the campesinos, who are trying to protect their land from being flooded by this mega project. What I understand is the biggest mega project in the history of that country. But of course, this is a combination of government, politics, wheeling and dealing, I'm sure a lot of corruption and kickbacks, where a private Spanish, now owned by Italian company, is putting in a large dam facility. Secondly, I've talked about in my past shows about the myth of alternative energy, that somehow these alternative energy projects are going to bring electricity and success to these areas, and nothing could be farther from the truth. The river, I understand that there was a Chinese company that came in and did a study on the river Magdalena, which runs through the central part of Colombia, a small Latin American country, and the water rights of this were given away by the government to private foreign companies. So how does that exactly work? Well, you can see that the levels of control go far above the companies that you see. But at any rate, now the word is that the local governments are not calling in the police. The private companies have the ability to pick up the phone and call in military police to protect their investment and make sure this dam gets built. I understand that military police beat the protesters who were in camp trying to prevent the dam from being built, who don't have any weapons of any kind. The military police came in, beat the protesters, beat the eye out of one of the protesters, and threw tear gas at the feet of an 80-year-old woman, injuring her, and then also one person, I understand, was in the hospital, beat in the head to where he was unconscious. Other area of the dam project, there are police there chasing people literally through the woods and through the brush that are trying to stay there. There are about, my understanding, about 600 people, many of these fishermen or farmers or farm workers who are losing basically their livelihood. And remember that the numbers were in the tens to 20,000 of people affected by this project being displaced. The other thing I want to point out is when I talked about this topic before, I did an analysis, and that the analysis shows that the river cannot support a 1.6 gigawatt dam. So this is clearly all about the water rights, the ability of international entities to come in and take water rights. So once again, I just wanted to give an update on that. You can get more information on this. I just do a Google search, look up Kimbo, it's Q-U-I-M-B-O, and then search for the activity in South America. By the way, there are other dams of this sort being built in Chile, in other Latin American countries, and other countries around the world. The grab for water control began early in the 1990s. Forbes magazine ran an issue with a cover article showing that water rights would be the issue of the 2000s, whereas the 1900s were dominated by oil. The 21st century would be dominated by water, and so the control of water, and it would be the most valuable thing on the planet, and the control of water would be the most important thing pursued by international entities. Okay, so at any rate, it's interesting to note that one of the main, topics of the 1990s, before we got to 2000, was the greenhouse effect, global warming, and now, of course, climate change and global climate change are the terms, because it's very clear that the world has been, actually, the temperatures have been dropping around the world. Look at Russia. If you average that in this year, the average world temperature is plummeting. But why? That's because of a known issue with the Gulf Stream. It's not due to man-made issues. So the point is that the world is changing, but there are many political issues going on that that are leading to the control of water and water rights. If you want to control the public, then control water. So it's obviously a control issue with the people that control the planet. And as I say, they're not leaders, they're controllers. And of course, they have to maintain the public stupid on many topics to maintain that control. One of the biggest ones is dealing with Planet X. Because why is that? They can control most things, but the one thing they can't control is Planet X type objects. And as I said, there are many of them. So what do they have to do? They have to condition the public mind so if any event like that ever happens, if a large comet comes into the solar system, then they can just pull out all of their standard science, all the garbage science, and say, yeah, that's just instead of 20 feet across, it's 600 feet across. It's a whopper. You know, and the scale of things is reduced. It's, in this case, it's reduced. Instead of augmenting the number of years, reduce the size of the comet nucleus, and now everybody's happy. Hopefully there are more and more people understanding this out there, understanding the amount of misinformation and starting to tune into the fact that Planet X is not going to look like a big globe. It's not going to look like a big orange thing. On the cover of my Planet X Comets and Earth Changes book, there's a picture. It comes from a native indigenous rock petroglyph that is in the Green River, Utah area, an area that I understand has been closed off by the government, a place that you cannot get to anymore. But anyway, it shows two comets with helical sunward spikes, something that NASA emphatically denies, says it's an optical illusion. And also then you see one of the comets with a great big nucleus visible and the other one without, indicating that occasionally in the large comet you will see that large nucleus. And so the Indian rock painting indicating that comets, yes, are not dirty snowballs, that they're big and that they're very influential on the residents of planet Earth. Last week, to try and put this into perspective, I talked about Planet X objects in other solar systems. You can imagine a solar system is developing. It has planets. And also it has many rogue planets. Rogue planets not in near circular orbits. Objects that are coming in all directions, in all types of different orbits around the star, with many different orbital periods. This idea of 3,600 years is really... it really can't possibly be true, but people keep repeating it. And there's a whole host, a laundry list of nouveau authors out there. What do? They run out and they mouse copy everything that they see on the internet, put it into a book, and then publish it and put a big orange ball on the cover and call it a Planet X or 2012 or one of the issues that one of the books that you see on the, you know, the in the bookstore, they get placed on radio shows and people interview them, and for the most part, don't ask critical questions like, where do you get this information? Where do you get all of the information about your Planet X book? One talk show host I know. I don't have guests on my show because it's typically very full with the information that I have to give, but a guy named James Jancic, I'm on his show regularly as a guest. Well, he has many times, he invites these people on as guests and asks them the tough questions. Where do you get your information? And the typical answer is, oh, I've been researching for 30 years. Yeah, but you're talking about a specific object. You're talking about it coming in 2012 or some date, and you're talking about it being in the solar system. Where exactly do you get this information? And, of course, they can't answer because they don't have any information. They're charlatans. But the disinformation crew loves these people because if they didn't exist, the disinformation crew would have to invent them. They would have to go out, find them, build them up, but they don't have any problem finding plenty of lunatics out there that need a little ego boost, that they'll go on a radio show, print a book with a bunch of gobbledygook information that has no basis at all. So But the reality is that our own solar system has many. How many could come in the next million years? Probably many, many, many. The issue with Planet X objects is that they can come from any direction. There does appear to be a lot of interest, and there has been a lot of interest, in the southern region of our solar system dating back into the 1980s. I believe it's still on my webpage, the NASA contract. It's a contract that NASA had in the 1980s into the early 1990s with the Naval Research Laboratory. And the head of that laboratory is a guy named Harrington, and his assistant, Tom Van Flandert, now both deceased. But their job in the contract, the NASA contract, and I believe, as I say, that's still on my webpage, was literally the search for Planet X. In other words, and they were looking in the southern part of the solar system. Harrington was going down to to New Zealand in the months of June, but understand that that's not exactly a friendly place to go. We're talking the equivalent of central Canada, but in the southern hemisphere. So it's winter, it's dark, it's cold, it's hard to move equipment there, so really you need facilities. It's not like you can just kind of go there on a tourist trip or something. And so he was taking pictures with none other than an 8-inch astrograph. An 8-inch astrograph. An astrograph is a camera on a telescope, and it has an optical lens on the front of 8 inches. And what do? They take a picture of the sky on repeated nights. And so what happens? Well, the stars stay in the same place, and anything that's out there that might move then can be determined. It's called a blink. I forget the name of it. It's like a spectrometer. But at any rate, what you do is you put a series of photos, and now, of course, this can be done digitally, and the stars all line up, so they're all in the same place, and anything moving becomes immediately obvious. Apparently, he had seen an object, and there's a question in my mind. Was he seeing Hale Bopp? Was he seeing an image of Hale Bopp coming into the solar system? And that's what they thought was Planet X. And, of course, this information all would have been kept secret so that the public would not have knowledge of this. But the point is that the search for Planet X, the official search, the NASA-funded search for Planet X, goes way back into the 1980s. And it has continued. And, of course, the misinformation program, Crazy Lady Talks to Aliens, that was supposed to terminate in 2003, May 15th, that began in the mid-1990s. That shows you how far ahead these people began planning these misinformation events. The December 21st, 2012 misinformation event, which is still going on, by the way, was started at least 10 years ago to build and get that public perception out there. And once again, it's my belief that we'll be lucky if we get to December 21st, 2012, along with all of the political maneuvering. It looks like May of this year is when things are going to pop. So at any rate, all of the things are in place, all of the rules, regulations, and laws to abscond with people, to grab them and take them off the street so that there is control of the public. That's, of course, what any fascist state will do. That's what any fascist government has done in the past. They want to get the technically astute people, those people that can talk, the people that can change perception in the public, they want to get them off the street. They want to control information. And so information is is what you use to control people. So at any rate, it looks like this spring sometime, with all of the issues going on in Iran, as I said, any natural events would be coupled with political maneuvering. And so if there were a world war going on with Israel attacking Iran, all of the borders around the world would shut down. And so at any rate, that's what I think is going to happen this spring. Also, those regions, I was alluding to the fact that where would you go to see Planet X if it were coming in from the south? And the reality is, especially if May there's a world tension and Israel is attacking Iran, all of the flights, all of the international travel would be shut down. So getting to places where people could see, and by the way, New Zealand is not that great a place to view from. The only real good place to view from for that southern part of the solar system is the South Pole or Antarctica, and I don't know many people that have tickets to Antarctica. So I had a little email bout with a guy, a relatively intelligent guy, who kept saying, well, if Planet X is there and everybody sees it, how come tell me where it is? Well, the reality is most of the people on the internet who are squawking about Planet X don't have any information at all. Nor could they get information because they're sitting in grandma's basement. They don't have any information. They're quacks. But they're out there because anybody can be on the internet today. These people are out there. So what you're going to see, I believe, in coming months is an increasing wave of just complete misinformation regarding Planet X. A lot of people, the old faces coming out of the woodwork, a lot of radio shows lighting up and talking, all of a sudden becoming experts on these types of topics and misguiding the public. That's one of the issues. That's why I keep pounding on this, because to weave through the levels and the multi-levels of misinformation in months coming up, you're going to have to be a pretty well-tuned person. There are people that I've talked to for now decades who, some of them and I thought, were pretty well-tuned, still can be fooled by misinformation. They call up and they go, oh, hey, what about this? And no, that's pure misinformation. And you can see it's trying to direct people. You are going to be absolutely bombarded by misinformation. NASA will be out there. All of the little NASA cronies, we call them Trekkies, that are out there. They work at some of the possibly like Naval Research Lab. Some of them are independent. Some of them run blogs. And all seemingly legitimate sources, but they're the Trekkies, what we call NASA Trekkies. They're the ones out there pumping the NASA party line so NASA doesn't have to do it. NASA doesn't have to go out and beat its own drum because it's got all of these little wannabe NASA Trekkies out there doing their bidding for them. These are people that really couldn't make it in the science world, but they're there. But they are there, pumping the NASA party line of the dirty snowball comets. Real good examples recently when comets have come in near the sun. NASA is out there hiding data. For example, all of the comets starting back in October that have come in near the sun and just doing tremendous things near the sun. I've got a image or a video on my page from 2004, I believe. Comet comes in, swings by the sun, and keeps going out. His tail swings around, and just as it passes the sun, boom! You can see the spark come out of the comet, and the big flare come out of the sun. And of course, NASA continues to deny, says that every one of these is coincidence. Every time a big comet gets near the sun, boom, something major happens, or like with Comet Lovejoy, goes through the actual atmosphere of the sun, comes out the other side, its nucleus is visible in the morning sky from Earth with the naked eye. People were actually seeing it before the sun came up, and and NASA says it's a 600-foot wide little puffy, fluffy snowball. So absurd, it's just beyond absurd, but, you know, there's people out there that believe it. They read that, oh, and okay, they don't have any concept of reality because they've been tricked. So I just want to make a few points that I didn't cover last week, just to summarize. Life in other solar systems, it is dependent on there being planet X-type objects to shake things up, to cause catastrophe, to cause, just like the forest fire burns down the monopolized forest and starts anew. Without Planet X disruptions, life would not evolve to higher planes. It would stagnate at the DNA level, and it wouldn't progress. You find that all of the standard Tier 2 science theories on the geology, on everything else, are in complete contradiction to how things really work. That's why when you go to college and you get a college degree, about 98% of what you learn is simply wrong. It's based on completely wrong information. Most likely there are civilizations out there millions and millions of years old. We are not the first civilization to develop in the universe. I guarantee you that. And it's my belief that the human race is an intermediate step at best. The human race, as it is now, is too stupid, too easily led astray, too greedy, too self-centered. It doesn't have a perception of reality, doesn't have a perception of what they have to do collectively to save themselves. And so the reality is that the human race is set for disaster. It's, in my mind, it's simply a matter of time. So I'm running out of time here. Next week we'll be on with some new topics, and I welcome once again all the new listeners out there. Make sure you go to the homepage. There's a boatload of information there. Get a very big pot of coffee or a very big lots of gallons of your favorite beverage. And before you start reading my webpage and going and listening to the shows, because there's a lot there. JMCCSCI.com is the webpage. That's J, seven letters, JMCC, S as in Sam, C as in Charlie, I as in Indigo.com. This is Jim McCanny. This is my Science Hour. And as always, we are at the crossroads. Good night.